morning, Pop Chasers, and happy September 8th. It is Wednesday, and you guys, I'm going to say it. It's officially autumn, and I know that you might say, no, 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 there is an equinox later this month. No, I don't care. I don't care. Because I went to Target yesterday, spent way too much money on decorative pumpkins and candles, and I have inhaled so many fumes in the last 24 hours that, quite frankly, I am riding a high like I've never been before. And if I go by the way of fumes, candle fumes, just know I went smiling, please. And you can put that on my grave. You guys, welcome to Pop Chaser. I'm Allison, the host. Pop Chaser is a daily pop culture podcast brought to you by The Dip. And we are going to go through the biggest headlines of the day. I just need everybody to know I am still thinking about the Oscar Isaac Jessica Chastain video from the Venice International Film Festival. The two are promoting their HBO series called Scenes from a Marriage. It's based on a Swedish TV series. And you guys, this scene from a not marriage, just from two coworkers, is sexier than, I mean, they're on a red carpet. Oscar Isaac, if you haven't seen it, smells Jessica Chastain's arm, basically. And it is unreal. And I know it's probably a ploy to be like, wow, the chemistry is popping and they're just doing press right now. Imagine what it's going to be like on the TV show. And guess what? Mission accomplished, HBO. It worked on me. It worked on me for Lady Gaga and Bradley Cooper in A Star is Born. You know, I ran to that theater because I needed to see Gaga sing that one note in that one song. You know, like, you guys know the song and the note. And I needed to see their chemistry. I mean, they were up here making out on stage behind a piano for all of their press. And I'm like, well, what's going on here? And so I ran to the theater. And what did I do at the theater? I cried into a bagel that I brought. That is neither here nor there. Jessica Chastain, Oscar Isaac, you have a viewer in me. Anyway, I'm still obviously thinking about that, but I'm also thinking about all of the crazy headlines that came in yesterday. I am talking absolutely insane. There's only one place to start when I say that. Roll the tapes.
I specifically said to you, I don't have those type of feelings for you on a romantic level, but you're such an amazing person. I want to give you this rose and give you an opportunity to be here another couple days and to meet people and to...
You didn't say that, though.
No, I didn't say that, but I said, Natasha, I'm giving you this rose because at the very least, you deserve to find love. And if it's not with me, it can be with someone else. And you decided to, in my opinion, have somewhat of selective hearing.
So Bachelor in Paradise was truly unhinged this week, which is, for what it's worth, exactly how I like my Bachelor in Paradise. I do not want to see people politely act in a certain decorum. I want them to be off the rails, and that's exactly what I got. Monday night, I was truly, first of all, I was crawling out of my skin because Kendall, I think she seems like a great person. She makes me so freaking uncomfortable watching her talk to Joe. I know she was nervous, but oh my God, I just needed somebody to give her like a Klonopin. We need Kendall on the Klonny and then she'll be okay. But I couldn't even watch it. Anyway, there was really only one thing to talk about, and that was everybody coming into paradise with a boyfriend and girlfriend just to meet up with them and get a free vacation. First of all, on Monday, we had Brendan and Piper, who I have to say, I individually liked both of them on Tayshia and Matt's season. They seem insufferable now, or at least on Monday, because they were nowhere to be seen on Tuesday. But then on Tuesday, we had a whole nother problem with Chris C. and Elena, who I don't remember either of them. So it feels fitting that we would dedicate an entire episode to them, but they did the exact same thing that Brendan and Piper did. And all of this is the exact same thing that Samantha and Joe did back in like season two in 2015. So if you don't remember that, that was when Joe got to paradise before Samantha. He wooed Julia. And then when Samantha got there, he dumped Julia, and they had completely planned out that he was just going to get a rose so he could be there by the time that Samantha got there. It's exactly what happened with Brendan and Piper. Brendan, who steamrolled poor Natasha, telling her that he friend-zoned her a long time ago and that she was just getting roses from him so he, because he felt bad for her, because he wanted her to find love and he knew it wasn't her, him. Come on, give me a break, guy. All of Bachelor Nation, all of the alums turned on those two. And I've never seen people so callously talk about their social media following when there's a poor girl who's crying about how she's been treated. She was completely disrespected. She was referred to as heavy lifting. Like Brendan needed to do some heavy lifting to get to the moment where he could be together with Piper. It was so dirty. I hated it. So then I turned the TV on Tuesday and I think, new day, new me. And you know what? Tell God your plans and he'll laugh, because that's not at all. There was nothing new about Tuesday. You guys, you know this, you've watched. Tuesday was the exact same thing, just a different song. We've got now Chrissy and Elena, who orchestrated the exact same thing. Chrissy says that he was into Jesenia, and then Elena walks in and his tongue is down her throat within about 0.2 seconds. And I have to say, I got to give it to Joe, who said that Chris and Elena are two of the worst actors that have ever existed, because I did not buy one word that they were saying. I don't think anybody did, which is why they were essentially force evicted from the beach. This isn't even Big Brother. And they were straight up just sent out, sent on their merry way. Not before they both cried on a little daybed together. No emotion whatsoever. Just listen to like these two losers accept defeat. Just complete defeat.
I'm going to tell you right now that like leaving paradise together means that you want to be in a committed relationship. And after one day here, I cannot tell you that. And I'm sorry.
No, I get that.
But I can't.
I get it. And that's why I wanted to be out here and I wanted to explore it further.
So like, does me staying here just mean I avoid literally everyone and have no friends?
And I have to just shout out Elena for one of the most iconic moments that we've gotten this season, when Chris thinks that he's leaving with her to pursue whatever it is that they have or don't have. He opens her SUV. She's sitting in the back seat and she goes, "Chris, this is not your car." Chris has to close the door and get into his own car. And that is the end of Chris, C, and Elena. My question for everybody, why was everybody so upset about Chris and Elena and what they did to Jesenia, but they did not feel that way about Brendan and Piper and what they did to Natasha? There are a few people that brought up, you know, the wrongdoings of Natasha, but very, very few of them. I feel like it's so hypocritical. I don't know if it's because they all have loyalties to Brendan or to Piper, but it feels so shady to me. I feel like Chrissy and Elena were definitely more underdogs. Nobody really knew who they were. So it was a lot easier to pick on them and then pick them off. But with Brendan and Piper, come on, Joe, if you're going to be the vigilante who's eradicating the slimy people that come onto paradise, then get your mop, because you've got two people that came on the night before who did the exact same thing. Okay, moving on.
Divorce, you know, I was in a position where I wasn't getting money. My attorney said to me, "You need to have someone ready to give you money if you need it."
Okay.
Yeah.
What does it mean, give you money? So what does it mean,
give you money? Into your money coming in to help you actually get like a loan.
In case I needed it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Someone.
It didn't get that bad for me.
Right.
But
right.
I offered that to Erica. I offered Erica a loan while going through the divorce. Like, if you need anything financially, I've got your back. And if you have a fall, you've got a mattress to land on.
So over the weekend, I was scrolling through TikTok, as I do, and I came across a very interesting video from TikTok user Giorgio Says, and in it, he shared a scene that we just played in which Sutton explains to the women that she offered Erica a loan when she originally left Tom when she announced her divorce, which was, I think, like the first or second of November. It was like the very, very, very beginning of November. Now, don't forget that Sutton also experienced a divorce recently that she probably knew exactly how Erica was feeling as somebody who was suddenly on their own, lived a certain type of lifestyle, and that would completely change. So I think that this was very much Sutton reaching out her hand to help Erica. It doesn't sound like Erica actually took the loan or took Sutton up on the offer, but it does make me think, first of all, it makes me like Sutton a lot more. I already started to, and I've said this on this podcast, but I had a tough time with Sutton in the beginning because of Crystal, and I really like Crystal. And then as the whole Erica thing started to evolve, Sutton really just is rising through the ranks so fast for me. But this also does change a lot of things. First of all, I think it gives us context to why Sutton reacted the way she did about the headlines surrounding Erica. This is completely hypothetical, of course. But if you offer your friend money and then find out that they're using that money to take out a hit on someone, wouldn't you be like, what the fuck? That money was supposed to be for your rent and your Domino's pizza and your Netflix subscription, not for you to hire an assassin. And plus, if money was traced back to you, you bet you're going to get a call from the Olivia Bensons of the world who are investigating that. So you don't want to be associated with any type of tomfoolery. So of course, that's not what is happening here, but understandably, that was a very heightened example. Okay. Just because we wanted to all get on the same page that Sutton is not overreacting, I don't think. I think it's actually quite understandable that Sutton wants to be as removed from this as possible. And even the idea that she offered Erica money probably really shook her. And she doesn't know, well, we don't know. We as the fans don't know what is real and what is not. But if you're like, hey, here's some money to get you back on your feet after your divorce, and then the next day a headline reads, Erica Jane accused of getting over $20 million in business loans from husband Tom Girardi's law firm, money that was maybe supposed to go to alleged victims of Tom's, then yeah, you're going to have some questions. I think that this scene, they showed this in like the never before seen clips that they show for some episodes before like the new episode of Beverly Hills. I think it changes a lot. And I really hope they're filming the Beverly Hills reunion on Friday. I really, really, really hope Andy brings it up because I would love some clarity on it. Okay, moving on.
What is going on?
She just left.
Wait, Jen? They were asking about Jen.
You guys, what if she's on the run?
How did they know she was here? Somebody had to have told them she was here.
Okay, besides getting the first two glorious minutes of the Salt Lake City premiere, which, as you just heard from that clip, is absolutely bananas. Like, if you want to feel a rush of serotonin or are already feeling the winter blues because Labor Day has passed, put on this 2-minute and 20-second clip and every concern you've ever had in your life will go away. And then it'll eventually creep back because that's how life works. But look, I mean, Mary M. Cosby might be doing the Lord's work, but prove to me that Bravo also isn't, truthfully. So the new taglines for The Real Housewives of Salt Lake City came out the same day as this new clip. And boy, oh boy, do I have some thoughts and concerns. Yes, I said concerns. Let me play the full opening package so you can hear the taglines, and then we'll break them down individually.
The only thing I'm guilty of is being shamazing.
In a town of beauties and beasts, there is only one wild rose.
You don't have to like me. I love myself enough for the both of us.
I have plenty of everything, including opinions.
I may be known for my ice, but I always bring the heat. If you come for me, I will send Jesus after you. I was raised a Mormon, but now I'm raising a glass of champagne.
Okay, I think what I could do here is rank them from worst to best because some of them are true duds, like absolute flops, and some of them are pretty fantastic. So, okay, worst to best, the title for the worst tagline this season goes to, drumroll.
In a town of beauties and beasts, there is only one wild rose.
I don't get what this tells me. Whenever a tagline can be said in any season, aka it's an evergreen tagline, it's an automatic bottom to the list for me, because this Beauties and Beasts, what is she talking about? And also, like, we just don't need, we get it. Your like last name is Rose. We get it. We don't need you to keep making references to it. Speaking of references, next on the list.
I was raised a Mormon, but now I'm raising a glass of champagne.
I just like Heather is the least Mormon out of all of them, even Mary, who's not Mormon at all and has her own church. But I just feel like she has to stop talking about it. And I mean, I'm interested in her journey, I guess. I'm just as interested in Heather's journey away from Mormonism as I am about Beauty Lab, if I'm being honest, which is fine. I would rather watch Heather eat drumsticks at the past hors d'oeuvre hour of a cocktail party, truthfully. But this like the Mormonism thing, it's like, okay, we get it. We have another tagline about Mormonism. What else you got for me? What else you got for me? I don't know. Isn't there something about Beauty Lab that she can incorporate, or like incorporate the thumbs up thing? Like, if you're going to disrespect me, I give you two thumbs up. I just came up with that off the top of my head. So I kind of think that that's better than I was raised Mormon, but now I'm raising a glass of champagne. Okay. Third worst, also known as fourth best.
I may be known for my ice, but I always bring the heat.
It's so boring, but it does at least give me a hint of possible engagement. I will say my number one worry this season is that Meredith is going to overuse I'm disengaging because everyone loved it last season. I want you guys to watch this season and clock how many times she says it. Next up.
If you come for me, I will send Jesus after you.
Okay, I am not religious, but I am 99% sure that is not how it works. But if it does, and you can pull a hit out on someone via Jesus Christ, then I am interested in hearing more because that sounds juicy and scandalous, and I love scandal. I also just love that this tagline inadvertently tells me Mary is sending Jesus for people, meaning she's not coming for them herself, meaning the woman may still be stuck in her closet. Let's free Mary Cosby, you guys. Okay, the third best tagline.
I have plenty of everything, including opinions.
So this is Jenny, the new housewife. She is coming in strong, in my opinion, because this tagline promises that not only does she have a lot of opinions, but it also tells me that Jenny is, as what Lisa Rinna would say,
she's rich, honey. She's rich.
Because she's saying she has plenty of everything. You know, we'll be the judges of that, but a very solid intro. Okay. Second place. First runner-up, if you will.
The only thing I'm guilty of is being shamazing.
I really hate the shamazing part of it, but I famously support taglines that refer to the plot of the season. And for that, this girl is getting second place. Okay, and obviously that leaves Lisa for number one. The tagline itself isn't even that good, but it's really the effort that Lisa put into it that won me over. Listen to it again.
You don't have to like me. I love myself enough for the both of us.
You don't have to like me. I love myself enough for both of us. It's just like there's no effort. It's like she just sent that in a voice memo while driving. Nothing. And that's why I love it. It's chaotic. It's Lisa Barlow.
I love that.
Okay, guys, it is time for our deep dive. It's going to be a quick one today, but I am just really turning over the possible breakup between Scott Disick and Amelia Hamlin Gray. Amelia Gray Hamlin. It's Amelia Gray Hamlin, but on Instagram, she's Amelia Gray. Whatever. Anyway, she posted the moodiest thing I've ever seen somebody post, unless you're hanging out on MySpace in 2004. And it said, never settle for less, not with your job, your friends, and especially not with your heart. Continue to seek what you are looking for and do not shrink yourself for the sake of other people. You deserve the best. So obviously this is coming a week after Scott DM'd Kourtney Kardashian's ex Eunice about Kourtney and Travis Barker. So I would like to think Amelia finally realized, oh wait, I'm dating a late 30s man who is still hung up on his ex partner, the mother of his children, and I got to jump ship. And you know what, Amelia, for that, I say, good idea. And also, I'll remind everybody again, Friday, Real Housewives of Beverly Hills reunion, Erica, sure, she's the number one topic, but I would love number two topic to be Lisa Rinna's opinion on this. And then I would love number three topic to be Crystal's ugly leather pants. You guys, thank you so much for listening to Pop Chaser today. I will be back tomorrow with more headlines. And until then, you can check out thedip.com. Use the promo code POPCHASER for 50% off your annual subscription. That is 50. That is a lot of percentages. It's half. It's just how math works. And until tomorrow, when we have a whole batch of new headlines, cheers. Cheers.